Stopping the shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side.
Felt so bad I thought I would die.
But ain't no power stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright.
It's your girl Stay Hall, and you are listening to Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly, here on Fishbowl Radio Network, The Blue Stream. I am a motivational speaker, a life coach, radio show host, and an author. I assist women in helping them realize their passion and purpose by giving them specific tools to start living their dreams. And I would love to serve any one of you who find yourself in need of any of those things, because it's all about reaching out and giving to others what God has given you. And I definitely feel honored and blessed to have been just one of the many people chosen by God to just share from my story to help other people. It has been a blessing to go through this journey of writing the book I've just recently released. It's called Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly, and it's a weekly devotional for today's resilient woman. I have a passion for helping women to realize their purpose in life, and especially women who are in that certain age category, you know, anywhere from 35 plus, because for me, that was a time where I really felt kind of lost. I was just starting to embark on a new season in my life. I was coming out of a marriage that I had been in since a young age. I was raising three sons on my own. I had a career when I was younger and ended up leaving that to allow my husband at the time to expand his career. And then when the marriage didn't work, I just felt like I was just kind of out there and not knowing what my purpose was anymore, because for so long my purpose had been being a wife, being a mom, and just taking care of that stuff. And the job that I had before was really regimented, so I knew exactly what I needed to do every day. But I left my job to be a stay-at-home mom, and again, when the marriage didn't work, it was like, what do I do now? I need to work, but I didn't feel like I wanted to be in corporate America. And so I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew that I wanted to explore things other than just working in corporate and having a quote unquote regular job. But there was also a part of me that felt like I was too old to start over, and that I was too old to try something new. And I was too old to decide to do things a different way. And so it took me several years to finally find my voice, find my courage, and find my place, so to speak. And so once I did, it was just such an awakening. It was just so eye-opening for me, and such a peace came over my life. And then I was able to completely submit to God and His will and start to walk in the purpose that He gave me. And so that's just a little bit about me for those who might be tuning in for the first time, and a little bit about the book. If you're interested in purchasing the book, you could go to my website, which is www.stayhall.com, and that's STAEHALL.com, and purchase the book there. It's also available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and so you can also just Google me and just kind of find out all things Stay Hall and where you can find the book. And if you are a woman who finds yourself in a situation similar, where it's, you know, a time in your life where you're kind of starting over, or you feel confused, or you feel as if though you've let too much time pass to pursue your dreams or walk in your purpose or live in your passion, I'm here to let you know it's never too late. But the book will also assist you in that and give you the courage and motivation and inspiration that you need to push along. And it is a weekly devotional, but each week there is a challenge that has been created to just kind of push you through step by step to help you get to where it is that you want to, where you want to be. And so that's enough about me. I'm just going to kind of introduce now today's show and what we're going to be talking about. And the title of today's show is Make It Last Forever. So if you tuned in at the top of the hour, you heard that old Keith Sweat song, Make It Last Forever, which I just recently found out that's what, Kurt Franklin's sister or something that's singing that with him?
No, it's Teddy Riley's sister.
Teddy Riley's sister. Okay. See, and I think Kurt Franklin and Teddy Riley are the same person, just trying to tip into the gospel bucket and the R&B bucket, because they look exactly alike to me. But anyway, I'll have another show all about that. But anyway, that was just a little fun fact I found out. That's Teddy Riley's sister who is singing that duet with Keith Sweat. And that was also the theme song, I believe, for my senior prom. So, yes, so cool. That song is near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure it's also one of my cousin Mel, who is a huge fan of Keith Sweat's, one of her songs, too. So I thought it would be fun to start the show out with that song, Make It Last Forever. But with all of that being said, that's kind of what today's show is going to be about, and it's also going to piggyback on the overlying topic that I have all the time, is that being a woman of a certain age, starting over, a lot of times we find ourselves also entering into a new relationship. Unfortunately, statistically showing in the United States, most marriages don't last forever anymore. You don't have these people, you know, who get married at 22 years old and end up being blessed enough to celebrate a 60th or a 50th wedding anniversary. A lot of people these days aren't even making it to 5-10 years. But the thing is, when that does happen and you find yourself being someone in their 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s, entering to a brand new relationship, you've already gone through so much in life. Yes. That you already are kind of, I hate to even use this term because there's really no such thing unless we allow it to happen, but you're already kind of set in your ways. And you've already gone through so many things that kind of have you jaded, and you, you know, sometimes, especially as women, and I hate to say that, but y'all know, I'm just going to keep it real. We have these kind of, you know, no negotiating type of thing. Like the first time a guy makes a mistake and says he's going to call us at 6 and doesn't call us until 6:16, we're done because, you know, you're a dog and I'm not a priority. And it's because we're carrying so much baggage. I have been blessed to have a wonderful husband this time around, and I believe we are going to make it last forever. But I've learned a lot of things in this second season of my life going into this relationship that I feel like it would be helpful for you all. And so I want to introduce my guest for today, who is more like a co-host than a guest. He's with me more often than not, but that's not a bad thing, because the reason I continue to have him here is not because he's my husband, but because he pours a lot into me, into the show, and is a wealth of knowledge. And I thought, what better person to have on the show than the wonderful Wallace Lee Hall Jr. I guess I gave y'all everything except for his social security number.
Yes.
Wallace Lee Hall Jr. But we're going to be talking about, you know, relationships 101, 101 and 1-on-1.
Yes.
Because we both experienced it. We both got married young. We both had children in our first marriages. We both had the whole family life. And we saw that transition, you know, because we both got married and we were happy. We had no idea that our marriages weren't going to last forever, but then we found ourselves in our late 30s at it again, and we've learned a lot, and it was a whole different thing than it was the first time around. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Wallace for a couple of minutes, and he can just give us his summary on this before we go to a break, just what you feel like people should expect to gain or what they should be looking at to grasp from a show such as this.
Like I say, a lot of times when you come in a situation like this, you know, I just ask everybody to have an open mind, open heart, you know, just be able to receive. You know, our opinions are not necessarily the gospel. You know, it's just what works for us. And a lot of times the things that we share, we've been asked to share quite a bit by several people. What is the fire that burns in us? What keeps us together? How do we find each other? Or what are the things to do? And I do, you know, me being a pastor, I do marriage counseling and singles counseling and other type, all types of counseling. It seems like we do.
Stacy counseling.
Yes, Stacy and Wallace counseling. We do it together. But it's just about ask, you know, just have an open mind, open heart. Like I say, we're going to try and to share some ideas, some thoughts, some opinions, some things that kind of work for us, and, you know, and hopefully it works for you too. You know, if it doesn't, you know, please don't attack us for it, but, you know, please just be open. You know, we are going to agree to disagree on certain things, but we do want to have an open mind and be willing to receive. And that's what this show is about. You know, some ideas that can help some people, because I do know there are people that are searching. I do know people that are in relationships that are not working out, or they seem to be at a crossroads now and they got to figure out which way to go. So we want to make sure that we can share some things, hopefully some insight on a couple things that can help some people overcome some things and, you know, make it last forever. I mean, figure out some ways to, it doesn't have to end today. You know, we can kind of get this thing back on track and take it further on down the road, and we'll just go from there.
And I love the fact that you said that something along the lines that we don't know everything, and we're not saying that we have the recipe for success. Do exactly what Wallace and I do and your marriage will be perfect. Because first of all, our marriage isn't perfect because we're two imperfect people,
right?
Coming from two different backgrounds. And, you know, we both bring in experiences, because, again, I hate to say baggage, and it's okay to bring in baggage, but you have to be willing to unpack it along the way. You can't keep your bags packed, but it's not going to be perfect. And so we're not saying that we have the hard and fast rules. Like he said, we just know what works for us. And we have people who are close to us who seem to like the way we operate and ask us questions. And so I just ask you all just to have an open mind, but also share, you know, your thoughts and comments on the situation. Because like I said, I'll be opening up the phone lines, or if you're joining us on social media, you can hit us up with a question or comment. But we just want to give what we have, and then you just take from it what you feel will be useful in your life, because we are not licensed therapists. We're not, you know, genies with a bottle. We don't have a magic pill.
Although we are working on a book.
We are working. See, we're supposed to be announcing that on it. See, now we're trying to do this whole, you know, we got a team of people who tell us what to do and when we're supposed to let things out. But Wallace just let the cat out the bag. We are working on a book together about this exact topic. So y'all be looking out for that. But I can't believe he just said that, and he knows we're probably going to end up getting in trouble by somebody, because we do have a calendar of when we're supposed to release certain bits of information. But
probably be Sammy say something,
right? But I guess we were supposed to, or Shawnee, I guess Wallace figured that would make us more credible to know that, because we, and that's the thing too, we don't, we base a lot of what we talk about on our relationship and what we've been through, because it wasn't just something that was seamless and perfect. But we also do our research as well. You know, we believe in consulting the professionals, and, you know, so I guess he figured the fact that we were writing a book would make us a little more credible. Is that why you did it, babe?
Yes.
You said. So that's what we are going to be talking about today. You guys get your questions ready and get your comments ready. I would love for y'all to share. But what I wanted to talk about first in this piece today is setting boundaries in relationships. Okay. And to me, that's something that needs to be done early on. Not to get off the subject, but we need to set boundaries in all relationships, not just, you know, husband and wives or people who are dating, but with your girlfriends, with your children, with your parents. Boundaries keep us sane. Boundaries keep us safe, because only we know how much we can take of certain things. And a big piece of starting a relationship, a serious relationship, you know, and this is stuff too that I tell people when I talk about this. I'm not saying these are conversations you need to have on the first date. I'm just saying once you feel like this might be going somewhere, have crucial conversations. Don't string that person along. Don't string yourself along, because a lot of times we don't want to talk about certain things or ask certain questions because we're afraid of rejection, or what if they don't agree with me and he just so fine and he got a nice car, but, you know, what if he's okay with bringing a third person in the relationship, you know, and having a threesome? I don't want to ask him that because I know that's a deal breaker, so I'm just not going to ask. We kind of live in that ignorance is bliss type of thing. But that doesn't work, because the thing is, what's done in the dark will come to light. It's going to surface itself someday. So why not just get it out of the way from the beginning? You have to have those crucial conversations. And one thing that I also know is once you are in a position where you find yourself single, and maybe not for the first time, if you're someone who's been single all of your life and you're in a serious relationship for the first time or entertaining marriage once you're 35, 40 years old, or maybe you're like Wallace and I and you were married young and you find yourself single again, 35, 40 years old, well, you're a different person than you were when you were in your 20s. And you've had life experience and hopefully you've gained some knowledge. And it doesn't take us quite as long, I don't believe, in our 40s to know whether or not somebody is right for us. Like, not that it's a definite they're right and we're going to be together forever, but it's just kind of, I know when I was single before I met Wallace and I was calling myself trying to date, there were guys who I spoke to on the phone, you know, like maybe I met them somewhere and we exchanged phone numbers. And then the first time we really get to have a one-on-one conversation, I knew, okay, I'm never going to talk to him again. Or maybe there was that guy who made it through a couple of conversations and invites me out to coffee. And it's like, yeah, this ain't going to work. You know, you kind of know. And so I just urge people that when you get those feelings, go with that. Don't continue to waste your time. Like, there is no limit on how many people you can date. Keep dating. Don't just stick with one person because he keeps calling you every day and he keeps inviting you out, but there are certain things that come up that you know that you don't want to deal with. then don't deal with it. Keep it moving. And that's why I tell a lot of women when they complain about guys who want to just meet them for coffee on the first date or just go sit at the park and get an ice cream cone. They're like, oh, see, I already know this ain't going to work because I need to go to Papa Do's or I need to whatever. It's like, this is a single man. He might be dating five women this week. He ain't trying to go broke taking everybody to Papa Do's because it's just the thing where you're just trying to get to know somebody to know if you want to take it further. But you have to set those boundaries. If there are certain things that you know are non-negotiables for you, bring those up as early as you can. Don't just keep going and going and going without asking those pertinent questions because you can end up wasting a whole lot of time. And don't be afraid. You know, if you're somebody who, you know, is needs somebody who is on time all the time, calls when they say they're going to call, and if they don't do that, it's going to be a problem. Ask that person, how are you with time management? How are you about, you know, doing what you say you're going to do? You know, if you say you're going to call me, are you going to call? Don't be afraid of sounding needy, because maybe you're needy. You need to let that be known. There is somebody for everybody. There's nothing wrong with being needy. Some people are needy, some people aren't. So on the flip side of that, if you're somebody who doesn't like to talk on the phone every day or doesn't like to be real affectionate or whatever, let that be known, because again, those are things that could help not waste a lot of time and effort and all that, and you could just keep it moving, right? What you think, babe?
Yeah, pretty much. You call it setting boundaries, but when you say setting boundaries, it looks a different way. I would say setting expectations.
Okay, boundaries,
and
expectations.
And that's some more or less, that's a little softer word to use there. But you want to set the right expectations and going into anything, you know. I'm not saying when you first start dating, you got to, you know, the first date or something like that, you got to say, well, I need this, I need that, I need that. Don't go into it like that, because remember, you're just meeting people, and people are still trying to figure out who they are, what they want in life, and you got to go through it, take it step by step. Don't just jump into it off the bat. And, you know, I think you kind of touched
on this. But ain't nobody got no time to be wasting talking to somebody for three months before we even know if they want to have a threesome.
If you want to make it last forever, you're going to spend that time to make sure this is the right person, not some person that needs to be in an insane asylum somewhere. You know, you want to make sure that's not the dude that's going to be doing something he's not supposed to be doing, or the woman doing something she's not supposed to be doing. So you want to make sure that it becomes a job interview. You
know? Exactly, because we just had one of our Facebook viewers. For those of you who are listening live on the radio, we also are going live on Facebook. And one of our Facebook viewers, Ms. Jody, said that's been her problem. She doesn't ask the tough questions, and she has to get better at that. Because we also know, too, when we first enter into these dating relationships, and you taught me this, we're meeting that person's representative,
right?
So they're not gonna show us their true color, and that's all of us. And like you said, it's like a job interview, so they want to impress us, and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make them shady. They're not a scammer. It's just that you're nervous and you want to put your best foot forward. And so a lot of times, you know, for the most part, especially when you get older, unless somebody is just a straight up creep, unless you ask certain questions, everybody's gonna seem great.
Right.
So I say go straight forward. I don't know, y'all. Let me know.
But
y'all
don't do that on the first date. You can't do it on the first date. It's got to be building a relationship.
Maybe not the first date, but
I'm just making sure they understand.
Okay, how about not the first date, but once he drop you out off at the house, and then y'all talk that night and recap the date, then y'all ask.
No.
I'm just saying.
Maybe what it is you should do is ask a question or two each date. You know, today I'm going to ask this. Kind of plan it out of what you're going to ask. You know, today I'm going to ask this. Tomorrow I'm going to ask this. And just kind of feed it out there. That way it doesn't become such an interrogation. It's more or less trying
right.
to get each other to know. You
natural
know, to know
conversation.
Each other.
Like, right. If you want to know, does he love the Lord? Did the Lord hear his cry? Instead of asking him,
date.
Are you, oh, see, now because he a pastor, that should be first date. But I'm just saying, what it really should be is before you eat, say, let's say grace. And then if he look at you crazy, then you know he might not love the Lord. If he just bow his head and say, Heavenly Father, then you know, okay, you can scratch that one off the list. He loved the Lord. So there's ways that you can just come up with conversation
right.
to find out certain things about people. If you want to know if he got a job or if he's living with his mama, then you could say, did you run into a lot of traffic on your way home from work today? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to write a book about that. Ways to have these crucial conversations and just kind of like making it natural. Ladies, I didn't say interrogation. And that's another thing, too.
Jody say she agreed with you.
Jody agrees
Come on now,
with
Jody.
Me. Yeah, Jody agrees with me. But that's another thing, too. And kind of letting another secret out the bag, but I'm working on a project about dispelling the myth of the angry black woman. We are not angry. A lot of us are just broken. A lot of us are just independent. A lot of us are just assertive. So, guys, we are not interrogating you. It's just that we don't have the time to waste on foolishness. And we also are looking out for our other sisters out there, because just because you're not the guy for me, I don't want to hold you up in a relationship for 6 months. And, you know, Susie Q across the street could just love you to death. And here I got you in a relationship for 6 months knowing. So, yes, we're not angry. We don't think all men are dogs. We don't interrogate. We don't bash. We are just assertive. And we are confident, and a lot of us.
That's how we're labeling it.
Assertive. See, that's what I mean, ladies. We get ready to just be down to one on this show. Yes, we are about to be down to one on this show.
But really, it's about communication,
mm-hmm. right? We don't have very. See, I told y'all we wasn't perfect because we ain't communicating.
It's about communication. It's about finding out who they are. So it can't. So it's got to be something. It's got to be give and take there. It can't just all be just one sided.
Right, and we 7 years in, and I'm finding out stuff about you right now.
Because as a man, you know, certain things I'm looking for too. You know, so it's certain things that, like, as a woman, certain things you're looking for. So we got to come to
an agreement on this. And on our first date, you were asking me about cooking, because that's kind of what really made you want to date me, was tasting the food. And so you knew I cook, but on our first date, you wanted to know how often do I cook? Do I cook every day on the first date, y'all?
What she's leaving out is that we were friends long before we started actually dating.
Yeah, I was actually trying to find him a woman and hook him up with some people, but ain't nobody want him, so I put so much effort into it. I said, I'll just go on and take him, poor little Tank Tank. So I just kept him. But we were friends first, and that is a true story, y'all. I knew, and this is why I was so confident in a relationship. He was not on my radar at all for a guy that I wanted to date, and it had nothing to do with him, obviously, because I've been married to him now for some years. He knows how many I don't, because he's all into me. So he remembers that kind of stuff. I'm not real sentimental. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, this lets you know, too. I just thought he was a great man. And I did not want to be in a relationship with him because I didn't think he was great. I just didn't think I wanted to be in another relationship, period. Like, I dated a little bit. Things hadn't gone well. I really wasn't into it. I really didn't think I was ever going to get married again, and I knew Wallace wanted to be married, and so I was trying to hook him up with somebody. And the thing is, the women that I was telling him about or introduced him to were wonderful women. I mean, because I knew that's what he deserved, and I knew some woman out there deserved him because he was great. And so it was just funny. But that's another thing that we can probably talk about, how I personally, not that there's no such thing as love at first sight, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with all of the new modern ways of dating online and whatever. Again, to each his own. But for me, going into a relationship without realizing that it's going to turn into a romantic relationship has just worked so well for me.
It kind of goes to the Jody's point there, you know, and I said this before. When you first meet somebody, you're meeting their representative. And some people are very good at hiring and hiding exactly who they are. That's why it takes time, and you got to be willing to put that time in, because you got to realize you don't have the time to waste, but you do have the time to invest in this situation to try and make sure you get the right one for you.
Yeah, I think that's right. You definitely do. I just feel like, you know, don't take too much time.
Right. But I encourage everyone, be friends first. Don't go into it, jump off the diving board right into the middle of a relationship. Be friends first, because that's really the only way you're genuinely going to get to know someone, if you're their friend. And you got
to
build upon that.
But it's kind of hard just to tell people to be friends first. I think it's best, and this is what I've shared with some women, because if you are single and you're meeting people, and that is your thing, you want to be in a relationship, that's how you're going to look at people. I just tell people, like what happened to me, don't even worry about it. Pray and ask God to send you that man or woman who he has created just for you. And then you just go about your normal life. Don't even think about, well, who is it? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? Because then you enter into relationships and you start meeting people, and you are more authentic and you are more genuine, because you're not just dead set on, I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship. Right. Because once I kind of was like, you know what? And I'm not telling people to give up like I gave up. But just don't put it on the forefront. Just don't, you know, worry yourself to death about, you know, am I ever going to get married? Is there anybody ever out there for me? Because if that's what you truly want and you pray and ask God for it, he will send you that person. But when you're just out there living your best life, living and appreciating the season that you're in, enjoying the daily blessings that God has given you, and knowing that everything you're going through has a purpose and everything happens in God's timing, that's when I believe you will find that person without even really knowing it, and a friendship will develop first.
Well, that's part of the reason why we can't actually put a date on when we first start dating.
Right, because yeah, I have no idea.
And just kind of going out, hanging out together, going, you know, having lunch together, you know, every once in a while we eat dinner together or something. But it was just that part of being a friend, and then it kind of blossomed into something else. And that's why I think that's why I always worked for us. And that's why I say you got to take your time and going into this, because we were friends for like 7-8 months
yeah,
or so before we actually got into something, for as a relationship goes. So, you know, that's why I encourage people. Be
I know for
first.
Me, the turning point was, and not necessarily knowing that we were in a relationship in this moment, but this was just a pivotal time for me. When Wallace and I first met and were friends, I was still doing a lot of traveling, going back home to Pittsburgh, going back to Virginia Beach, and coming back and forth to Texas. I was just starting my tax business, and just a lot of stuff going on. And so Wallace and I talked on a pretty regular basis, but one day I was traveling out of town, and I just had this feeling like, oh, I got to call and let Wallace know I'm going to be out of town, and da-da-da-da-da. And so, and then I kind of thought, am I checking in? Like, why am I telling him I'm going out of town? Why do I feel like, whatever, I need to know? And so that's when it kind of was on my radar, like, am I feeling him a little bit or something? Because, I mean, I already knew he was feeling me. I just, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, well, y'all, we're going to go to a quick break. We got to pay some bills around here, listening to some commercials and some music, but we will be right back. Don't forget, you are listening to Stay Hall, Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly, here on Fishbowl Radio Network in the Blue Stream. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
My feelings, notice they really like me. Can't control my anxiety. Feeling like I'm touching the ceiling. When I'm with you, I can't breathe. Boy, you do something to me. Get me high like you do, yeah. Ooh, no, I'll never get over you until I find something new. That get me high like you do. Listen to my heart go bada bada, di di da.
Love. And everything you own, you ain't gotta ask for. You got me boot up, boot up, boot up. jump, I don't wanna choose you. Got me boot up, boot up, boot up, boot up. Grab me by the waist, baby, pull me closer.
Keep on giving you the best that I got. Listen, baby, some Are you ready to experience your best skin ever? Kamari Glow has natural body products to hydrate your skin from inside out. From body butter to body scrubs, Kamari Glow needs to be added to your skincare regimen today. We can even help make skincare and bath time fun for the little ones with our Soothe Bath Bomb and body scrubs. Check out our website today at KamariGlow.com and take part in our flash sale going on now. Get that natural glow, healthy and hydrated skin you've been missing with Kamari Glow products today.
Hey, it's your girl Stay Hall, and this is Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly. And you are listening today on Fishbowl Radio Network, The Blue Stream. And for those of you who may be just tuning in, I have a wonderful guest, Mr. Wallace Hall, who just happens to be my husband, joining today. And we are talking about Relationships 101, Make It Last Forever. And we've kind of just been mostly touching on the subject of getting into new relationships later in life and just how the struggle is real. It's a different kind of animal once you get older. Your patience isn't quite where it used to be. You don't have the desire to socialize like you used to. So it's not about going to the club and meeting people. You're trying to be in the house by 8 o'clock. We don't have a whole lot of time to, you know, mess around and waste in relationships that aren't going anywhere. And sometimes it kind of leaves us in a funk and we decide to give up. But Wallace and I have just been sharing our personal story because we both were married before. And when we got married, we were what, 40, 41?
Yes.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was, you know, middle-aged and doing it again, and you come in with baggage. As much as we all want to deny that and say that we don't have baggage, we all have some sort of baggage. We've all gone through things. And again, a lot of this stuff isn't just about relationships when it comes to a man and a woman. We carry baggage from our childhood. We carry baggage from bad friendships we could have had. We carry baggage from things that have happened in our career. We're human beings, and things that happen to us in life, it's not easy all the time just to forget about it and keep it moving. No matter how much we want to do that and even say we do it or feel like we do it, there are those times when those things kind of creep up. And, you know, once you hit your 40s, you've been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, baggage is one thing. You know, and the thing of dealing with baggage, you got to be open and honest that you do have baggage. And we all have baggage because we've all lived this life. We've all watched TV. We all saw, you know, the movies that the people just fall in love and the guy understands or the girl understands. We all have that. So we all have in our minds the picture perfect situation for us. And we got to be willing to deal with it. Hey, this is what my mind thinks it is. And, you know, and then past relationships, good or bad, we have that baggage also. You know, and then we watched our friends, our parents and stuff. So we kind of have a lot in our bag. You know, many of us have a lot of bags that we carry around. But being open and honest and be willing to deal with that baggage and take it, you know, sometimes you got to open it up and, you know, with that person that you're having a relationship with, be open and honest and say, these are some issues that I struggle with. Are you willing to help me work on these issues?
Exactly. And it's funny that, you know, you were saying, you mentioned something about good or bad. It's like, you know, you can also bring baggage in from some positive situations where that forces you to put certain expectations on the new person in your life, because we also have to say that we were in relationships with other people for a reason. It wasn't bad forever, and we have to, you know, give the devil his due, as they say, and that other person had some great qualities, and maybe the new person that you're with, you know, of course they're great as well, but maybe it's not the same. So it's like you can't put the expectations on the new person to do things, you know, like, well, my ex used to, you know, bring me flowers home every Friday night. Well, you know, that was something he did, and that's great, but he's still your ex for a reason. And, you know, so there has to be something that this new person is giving you that the other didn't. But don't expect them to do everything. Nobody is perfect. Also, you know, whatever issues you had with the other person, you can't visit that on the new person, because just because, well, you know, my ex, you know, told me that he had to work overtime all the time, and I found out that he wasn't really working overtime. He was cheating. you know, on me. And so now when the new guy says he has to work overtime, you getting in your car with your scarf on your head, riding up to the job, hiding behind a bush. Don't do that to yourselves. You have to use your spirit of discernment. You have to give everybody the benefit of the doubt if you feel that the person's worth it. And that's what I say, why I talked about what I did in the previous segment is, ask those crucial questions up front. Try to get an understanding so that you don't find yourself acting crazy when certain things happen, because you already have built a rapport with this person and you trust them, because trust is so important.
Right. And one of the things why we talk about being friends, and you're going to hear me emphasize that a lot, you want to be friends because that's when you kind of really feeling someone out, getting to know. And that's when those warning signs, those red flags will pop up where you can say, you know what? This is not who I thought it was. And you'll see how they treat other people in these relationships. And you know what? If they're treating the other person bad or doing certain things to other people, they will do them to you. So, you know, it's not, don't overlook those things. And that's why I say take your time. You know, Steve Harvey had put in his book about the 90-day rule and things like that. And a lot of us are so impatient that we want stuff now. We live in such a now society, you know, and a lot of people wonder, you know, that's why those fast food restaurants have two windows, one to get your money and one to give you food, because they know once they get your money, you're not going anywhere. And so that's the way our situation is. We're such a microwave society, and we got to be willing to go back to the old days of, you know, courting, taking your time and building those relationships. And you walk through it being friends, and then it kind of grows into something else. And like I say, you'll be able to pick up those warning signs.
And I also feel like it's very important early in a relationship to let somebody know the things that you need. If you're somebody who, and we mentioned last week on the show, learning people's love languages. Yes. And finding out what fills their love tank. I love the way Lachelle put that, because everybody gives and receives love differently. And the things that make you feel loved might not be what makes that other person feel loved. So you need to discuss that kind of stuff. And I suggest to everybody to read the five love languages. And there's a bunch of them out there now. They're all called the five love languages, but it's about, you know, five love languages: single, married, kids. Yes, everything. But it is an excellent tool, because a lot of times we expect people, you know, they say treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
But that's not literal. So it's like, if you're somebody who is very affectionate and your love language is touch, and that's how you like to be treated, that doesn't mean that the next person is affectionate and the way they feel love is by touch. When you think about treat people the way you want to be treated, it means take the time to find out what somebody else needs and what their love language is, and then show that to them, because you would want them to do the same for you.
But you also teach people how to treat you too by doing it.
Exactly, exactly. And you have to be willing to have those conversations. You have to be willing to say, and not worry about the stigma of looking needy or, you know, whatever, to say, hey, I feel secure when you are holding my hand when we're out. That lets me know that you care about me. You know, I like to hold hands. Or I feel best in this relationship when you are willing to spend quality time with me, when you're willing to go out of your way to spend time. Or maybe some people feel most secure because giving and gifts is a love language, because I know that's my love language, and it's not on the receiving end. But the way I show gifts, I'm not a very touchy-feely, affectionate person. I'm not somebody who necessarily gives a lot of words of affirmation. I know that y'all probably won't believe me, but I am a woman of few words. But the way I show my love is through gifts. And that's something that Wallace wasn't really used to from a woman, but I've bought him flowers before and had them delivered to his office, or taken him flowers to his house when we were dating, or bought our dinner, you know, when we went out. And he's looking at me like, okay, what kind of chick is this? I've never had a woman buy me flowers, pay for dinner. But that's my love language, and he's learned that over the years. And the funny part about it is, once you learn each other's love language, you'll realize that they're kind of opposite, because I have a hard time with him buying me anything. I'm like, don't spend your money on that. Don't buy me this. Don't do this. And he's like, okay, but you bought this. And I'm like, it's not. But we have to learn. And it's not a big deal for me to buy him gifts, because that's not really his love language, but he accepts it. But I also know that he's somebody who likes touch. So I know to make sure I give him a big hug and a kiss when he comes in, and he likes to hold hands. And so we have to come out of our comfort zones and do that for each other.
Yeah, you got to be willing to do those things. You know, it's just like I say, it's always in the details, and that's what a lot of people miss out on. It's always in the details. It's not always about the big things and things like that. It's the details, the stuff day in and day out that you're going to be doing that really matter. And those things matter the most because those things add up. And like I say, spending that time investing in a relationship by reading those books and, you know, listening to counseling and things like that, those are investments into your relationship, and that's what you want to do, be investing into your relationship all the time.
And for any of you who tuned in last week, or even if you didn't, I'll tell you, our subject last week was about mental health. And it's just so funny that, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and everything kind of ties in. We make things a lot more difficult than they need to be. But when we talk about the mental health piece, that goes right in line with everything we're talking about now. In order to be in a happy, functioning, solid relationship, you have to be secure in who you are, but it also doesn't hurt to get that premarital counseling, to even go into counseling while you're dating, even if it's just for a session or two, because it's somebody from the outside looking in who can maybe pick up on some things you're not seeing or ask some questions you're afraid to ask. Don't shy away from that. There's nothing wrong with that. We all need some sort of counseling just because life is heavy. And again, none of us are perfect. And we think that we know ourselves, but there's some stuff going on with us that we don't even realize why it's going on. But it's happened for so long, we've just accepted that's just the way I am, or that's just the way they are. And this is one thing that I'd like to say, too, talking to ladies, because Wallace and I do a lot of marriage counseling and premarital counseling, and I prefer premarital over marriage. And I'm only saying that because most people only come to marital counseling once there's already a problem. Now, if you just go into counseling as a married couple just because you want to be on the right track and you want that help, wonderful. But I'm just talking about the ones who wait until there's a problem. But one little piece of advice I'd like to give you out there, men or women, if you are in a serious relationship, engaged, thinking about getting married, and that other person refuses to go to premarital counseling, I'm not saying don't marry them. I'm just saying that is a red flag, and you need to find out why. Because especially in premarital counseling, you're talking about 1, 2, 3 sessions. I know people who have gone to other churches and gotten married by other people, or had their friend mail in for a license to marry them simply because the pastor at their church or whatever would not marry them without premarital counseling, and either the man or the woman refused, so they had to find somebody else to marry them. What you think about that, babe? Is that a red flag?
Yeah, that's a red flag. You know, you got to be willing to, if you got the mindset that you want to get better and the other person is saying, I'm good where I'm at, then that's not good. You know, anybody who says they're the best they're going to be and they're all they're ever going to be, that's a red flag. You want to be with somebody that's constantly thinking about improving themselves and getting better and willing to invest in your relationship. Yes. And their relationship. You know, it's a team. That's why, like I said, we're Team Hall. And, you know, it's all about us getting better. It's not about me getting better, her getting better. It's us getting better, you know, individually and collectively. It comes in the whole.
And it's just so interesting. You just learn new tools, and it just opens you up. And even if you're not going through anything, it can help you to help other people. Because Wallace and I aren't the only ones who can help other people. We're all out here. We are our brother and sister's keepers, especially those of us who walk in faith and with a Christian background. We are here to help one another. And so you may learn something in counseling that might not necessarily hit home with you, but you can run into someone who's having an issue. And another thing I want to mention about that counseling piece, and then we're going to open up the phones for calls. So if any of you have any questions or comments or concerns, because I haven't even put that out there yet, our phone number is 214-431-5062. So if you have a question for either myself or Wallace or something you'd like to share, call. But with that counseling piece, another thing I wanted to mention is...
Or put in the instant messenger.
Yeah, or instant... Not instant messenger, no, direct, but the comments. On Facebook Live. But a lot of people will try to manipulate you with that whole... everything's fine. Why do we need premarital counseling? Our relationship is great. What, you think we have a problem? Oh, you don't think we gonna make it? I thought our relationship was good. Oh, you having doubts? that, in my opinion, again, another red flag, because that's manipulation. Because going into premarital counseling is something to help you not run into issues. Premarital counseling, counselors and pastors or spiritual leaders are not offering premarital counseling to try to talk you out of getting married. They're just trying to help you with some tools and to, you know, just kind of give you some tips on what to expect. So I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines. So, huh? Oh, we need a break?
Yes.
Oh, I've been running my mouth. I'm sorry. My better half over here is telling me we need to go to a break, and he's showing me where he's written that on a piece of paper, I guess, to prove it. But anyway, we're going to go on a quick break, you guys. Don't forget, you're listening to Stay Hall, Running for Your Life on Fishbowl Radio Network, the Blue Stream. We're going to go to a quick break, and then...
Hi, this is Toya from Fort Worth, and I am running for my life with Stay Hall on the Fishbowl Radio Network on Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Blue Stream.
You
wish I was lying to myself. I could not fathom that I would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never felt the feeling that I'm feeling now that I don't hear your voice. Or have your touch and kiss your lips, cause I don't have a choice.
It's your girl, Stay Hall, and you are listening to Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly on Fishbowl Radio Network here in the Blue Stream. And for those of you who are just tuning in, today's topic is basically Relationship 101, Make It Last Forever. And we've just been sharing some tips and stories and things about how it kind of works for Team Hall. And we've just been discussing the fact that entering into a relationship when you're 40 plus or after you've already been married for some time, it can be a little challenging. And so we've just been talking about kind of what works for us, and we were going to open up the lines for caller. So if anyone has any questions or anything that they would like to share on the subject, our number is 214-431-5062. And the lines are open now. We're just kind of interested in, first of all, what you all think about the subject or if you have any questions. So we have a caller on the line now. Hey, you're live on air with Stay Hall on the Running for Your Life show. Caller, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, 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 this is Sun T. I had to wait and wait to call. Oh, my God, Miss Stay, Stay.
Yes.
Stay? Are you there, Stay?
I'm here, Cutting T. How are you?
Well, it's great. It's great weather. I'm loving y'all topic. But let me tell you, Miss Stay.
Uh-oh, what's going on, Cutting T?
I can't do that no more.
You can't
this
do what no
world
more?
Not working out. See, you met Wallace in a 99 in the 2000.
Oh, Lord.
It ain't working out like that no more. These men are still 16 at 40.
Well, Wallace and I have only been together for 7.5 years, so that's pretty recent.
They didn't change since then. 2000, see, 2000, 2019, totally different year. Totally different situation. I don't know what happened.
Oh,
night
no.
Went, okay, they came, and these are totally different men. They are not even, no. I just decided that I'm just going to, I mean, I'll date here and there, but, you know, they can't dress. They want to dress like the 16-year-olds, and then they, what, they 40. So he got on a button-down T-shirt with some gym shorts. I'm confused on what
we're
going
today. A button-down T-shirt? I ain't never even seen one of them before. What is a button-down T-shirt?
I'm saying, they don't know whether to wear the tight jeans or a muscle shirt. They don't have it together. I think they look like 50 cents in the test. It's not working out. They not getting into their inner men. They still want to be.
Well, Cousin T, let me ask you this question. Where are you meeting these men? And also for the other ladies out there who are listening, either, you know, in Radio Land or on social media, are you running into the same issues out there where men just seem like they don't want to grasp their age? They're living in the past. But where are you meeting these men?
Well, I'd be out there at the Trailers Village. I'd be going to the, you know, I like to
at the flea
around.
Market?
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, yeah, what's wrong with the flea market?
Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not judging. There's nothing wrong with the flea market. However, comma, I don't think that that's where I would be looking to find the man of my dreams. Like, you know, usually men, the flea market's not really their thing. That's more of a women's thing, unless it's like a man who has a business. Like, Wallace didn't start going to the flea markets until he was with me, and it was something I liked to do, so I'm going to say that maybe it's where you are going.
It's where I'm looking. You might be right. You might be right.
And the fact that you're looking.
I don't want it.
Because the Bible says he who finds, not she who seeks. So quit looking. Just
right.
Do you and let him find you.
I guess that's what's going on, because I ain't
found
me.
Oh, well, Cutting T, let me share something for you. One of our fellow lifers, because you are definitely a lifer, but Jody, who is a lifer, she says that you're looking at the wrong things, because you can change how he dresses, which that's true, because as you all know, I feel like my man is the bomb.com. I just love me some Wallace. He's so fine. He blows my mind. But I have changed his whole style. What?
Okay. I'm not gonna look while I keep looking.
That's you're not gonna look while you keep looking. I like that. I like
I'm
that because you wanna be
looking.
In a relationship, but yeah, don't look. Just let him find you. But I do agree with what Jody said. And it's not like, you know, Wallace wasn't dressing too young. He wasn't dressing inappropriate. So let me just cover that up for my boo, or clear that up. He just was a little too conservative for me. He always had to have the tucked in shirt. He was either in a suit or a polo shirt tucked in and khaki. So he was either business or business casual. So I just had to loosen him up a little bit. But I understand, Cousin T. But hopefully today's show is giving you a little insight. And of course, as always,
yes,
I appreciate
always
you
does.
Calling.
It always does. Thank you so much, Miss A. I'll be waiting for you next week.
Yes, ma'am. I know you will. All right. So if there's anybody else out there who would like to call in, the number is 214-431-5062. And I appreciate you so much, Cutting T, for calling in. Of course, I always enjoy and appreciate your participation in the show. But that was a good question, or a good subject, because I see a lot of other ladies are running into the same thing. Vonda saying, you know, she's telling the truth. They're not trying to grow up, acting very young and looking for young women. And that is somewhat of a trend that I've seen. And I think that's just some of the insecurity with some of these men, because they feel like, okay, I'm with this young girl, so everybody looking at me, how did I pull her? But at the same time, a lot of these young women are just with these men for what they can offer them financially. So that's also an insecurity. They're wanting to be with them because they think it makes them look good, but they know deep down that they're not in the relationship for the right reasons. And I see Mr. Hall over here just chomping at the bit. He has something he wants to say, so I'm gonna just turn it on over. Let us have it. What is it?
Sometimes these men, as we get older, we go through certain situations. I'm not really sure what Cutting T was kind of referring to there, as that outfit goes, but I'm not exactly sure where she was at.
Well, Vonda
put
just
that
was saying that you know, these guys, they trying to act young. I guess they wearing skinny jeans and you know, tank tops and muscle shirts.
But that's what I try to do with a lot of when I speak at different places, something like that. You know, it's about us as men. You know, trust me, we have a lot of areas we need to improve on. And, you know, acting our age and being who we are is a big part of it. You got to embrace who you are and try and get better from that standpoint. You know, we try to reach back and
relive your younger days, your glory days.
Attain that youth that we once had, but it's not around anymore.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're used to it. I do it all the time. It's my love language. But
that's a love language.
Yes, your love language is bossy. My love language is interrupting.
Okay.
But what could be happening with a lot of these men, too, is like we're talking about older men. And we've been talking about that in this show. You know, some of these people are, you know, the second time around. They've already been married for some years. They have kids. They've been through it. So maybe they're reverting back to what it took them to pull their wife at 22. And so that's the only game they have. They're going back to that old swag, not realizing that it's not the same. You know what I mean? Maybe they have been married for 15, 20 years. And they just don't have any game, so they're going back to the game they used to have. What you think about that? Is that maybe why?
No, I can't quite agree with that because so much stuff has changed from when, let's say, I was in my 27 years ago when I was 20 years old. You know, music's changed, dress has changed, so much has changed. So it's not even that. It's something deeper than that in what you're trying to go back and when you're trying to relive certain things. Sometimes you just see if I still got it. You know, you're in that mindset. So, no, I think it's deeper than that. It's got to be, you know, just trying to figure things out day by day and just trying to go back and, you know, just try to relive that youth. But like I say, it's not the same thing.
You were a man back in the game, you know, in your late 30s, early 40s or whatever. Did you feel as confident in the dating scene this time around as you did when you were young?
No, not really, because so many things have changed. You know, like I said, people have changed. Situations have changed. You know, people don't really date the same way like they used to. You know, there's a lot of stuff coming back into this I can't really talk about on this show. But there were a
well,
lot of
what
stuff.
What show do you need, sir?
There was a lot of stuff when getting back into the dating scene. So many things had changed. Just people's mindset about stuff and certain things. You know, and I used to tell you, you know, we talk about all the time how, you know, I talk about my Mac was old school Mac. Mac on you or whatnot.
He had no Mac.
And, you know, I think mine was so old, her radar couldn't pick it up. That's what the deal was. She was used to these guys coming in, trying with these new, you know, new age lines and stuff. And I'm still talking old school stuff to her. And I think that's really what got her attention is that I still was just trying to be me. I wasn't trying to be anybody, you know. Like I said, a lot of this music and stuff we can't even really kind of relate to now. And that's why, you know, because we grew up during the time with that's what we've been playing a lot of old school R&B, 90s and, you know, that stuff what we grew up on and 80s, late 80s when we grew up on. And that's really what kind of helped me get to her and, you know, let her know that, hey, I'm interested in you. So, yeah, like I said, I think it's a little bit deeper than that and what the relationship is and the situations. So much stuff has changed.
Well, we have a good question. From one of our lifers, Ms. Vonda says, how does a mature woman with their act pretty much together not attract these men that want a woman to take care of them but still want to be treated like they are the king? I think I scrolled to, okay, so that was it. Treated like they are the king. And Wallace, I think you'd be able to answer that better than I would, but I'm just going to put my two cents in. First of all, there's a difference in male and man. Male is just your anatomy and what you were born. That's the sex that you are. But being a man is about your integrity. It is about just the whole state of being and who you are. Just like, you know, age ain't nothing but a number. You know, I used to tell my kids, you know, just because the calendar keeps rolling on and, you know, you might be 25, but grown means you're handling your own household, paying your own bills. Age doesn't make you grown, and being a male does not make you a man.
Right.
And so I would go as far to say is if somebody is coming at you in that way, then first of all, you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with a man child. And second of all, I think it just comes down to expectation. And like I told you all, my love language is gifts. And so I did things for Wallace in our relationship. I still do things for Wallace. But you also don't want to do too much too fast. I think sometimes as women, we have that nurturing spirit. And I don't know if this is the situation with you or not, Vonda. I'm just speaking from what I've seen, we nurture and we give right off the bat. We're cooking for men and taking them their lunch to work, and we're in new relationships, and we just kind of set ourselves up to give and give. And I tell women, don't be very careful of playing the role of a wife when you're a girlfriend. I'm not saying not to treat men well, but don't step full throttle into that role and start doing things. You know, you have to set boundaries, because if you start off too quick, you know, washing his clothes, packing his lunch, and whatever, you could be creating that situation yourself. What do you think about that, Wallace?
Vonda, I would say it like this. You know, how does a mature woman with their act pretty much together not attract these type men? Your heart only has so many parking spaces. And it's really just for one person. And you can't let other guys that are not what you're looking for occupy that parking spot. You have to be the one who controls that parking spot. And if you have to be lonely for a while and, you know, go through some things, and like I say, just enjoy life. You know, it's kind of funny how love will find its way no matter what, you know.
And don't just ever settle.
Yeah, don't settle. Just enjoy life and be the best you can be. If you do that, concentrate on that, trust me, someone will find you. You know, and that's where the Bible says, he that seeketh, find who findeth, you know, and that's what you want to do. You want to be found. All right. And so many times you got to be available when that person's looking.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Sometimes we spend so much time on the wrong person, and you have to think about that, because God has someone for you if that's your heart's desire. The Bible says he will give us the desires of our heart. But like Wallace said, you have to keep your heart open. So if you are spending a bunch of time nurturing and doing things for Mr. Wrong, knowing he's Mr. Wrong, God is not going to bring Mr. Right into your life, even though he could be ready and available. That's not fair to him. You have to make sure that you're completely open and available. And Jody says here, but men aren't the only ones who need to change. So do we. We all need to take a look in the mirror and see what kind of energy we are emitting, especially when we are not attracting the type of person that we desire. And that's so true. And that goes with, you know, what I was saying. Sometimes we give too much and we're too nurturing and we become enablers, and then we're upset when the man isn't doing the things we want him to do. And also sometimes, you know, we're too aggressive and we come across as that quote unquote angry black female, or just angry female, or, you know, people look at us as the B word, or we're nagging and whatever. So it's just a balance. When things aren't working the way you would like it to work, my first thing is you have to pray about it. But then, like Jody said, you have to look at that woman in the mirror and say, what is it that I can do differently? You know, where is it? And that's why I say counseling is so key, because sometimes it's things that we're doing out of love. It's things that we're doing, like Vonda said, by nature. And, you know, we're not being mean. We're not whatever. But sometimes we're too nice. So we just have to, it's that balance. So we just have to figure that out. So hopefully that helped, Vonda. And y'all keep the questions and comments coming. I love the engagement. I love the dialogue and all of that. So another break? Okay. So we're going to go to one more quick break, and we will be right back. So y'all keep the calls coming. Remember, you're listening to Stay Hall with Running for Your Life. Love Yourself First, explicitly on Fishbowl Radio Network in the Blue Stream every Friday night from 7 to 9. We'll be right back.
You never know when. You never know. You never, 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 never know. No, 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 no. You never know.
received all the inboxes about our skin looking so good. And we want to tell you that we have been using Kamari Glow. So if you want the same skin as ours, just get Kamari Glow.
Kamari Glow has bath bombs, body butter, and body scrubs for that natural, healthy, hydrated skin.
So tell your parents to log on to KamariGlow.com.
A couple wonderful for kids. Hey, it's your girl Stay Hall, and this is Running for Your Life, LYFE, Love Yourself First Explicitly. And we're here on Fishbowl Radio Network, The Blue Stream, every Friday night from 7 to 9. And if you've just tuned in, today's show has been absolutely wonderful. We've been talking about all things relationships and how to make it last forever. So basically, a relationship 101. And I am here with my wonderful husband, Mr. Wallace Hall. And we've just been sharing about our relationship and how we got together and kind of some of the things that work for us and some of the things we ran into in the beginning, some roadblocks and how we worked through some things. And also had a wonderful call from a young lady who's kind of struggling with being single and meeting the right guy. So it has just been an amazing, amazing show. Something I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit, Wallace, if you don't mind, in the relationship piece is the gender roles that we have in relationships and how the word submissive has become somewhat taboo. And I guess I thought about it from what Vonda was talking about, men wanting to be treated like kings, you know, and whatever. And the thing is, it's something that I had to grow into and mature into is that, you know, and again, once I got deeper into my spiritual walk and just wanting to do exactly what thus saith the Lord, women are to be submissive and men are the king of their castle and the head of the household and should be treated as such. But I think the reason why it became so taboo is because in society and the way things went, so many women were forced into being independent because a lot of men, unfortunately, weren't doing what they were supposed to do. But what I've learned is a lot of times, too, those relationships that ended up that way, and I'll speak for myself. When I was married the first time, God was nowhere in that. And not meaning that I wasn't a born-again believer, not saying I didn't love the Lord and he hadn't heard my cry. What I'm saying is I didn't pray and ask God to send me anybody. I didn't pray and ask God to cover my marriage. You know, I had my own personal relationship with God, but as a couple together, we didn't pray together, you know, a lot of things. And so that marriage was not of God. It wasn't, I can't say that my first husband was who God had for me, because if it was, I'd still be with him. But that's something we don't think about. But what I learned as I got older and more mature and deeper into my spiritual walk, that when God sends you your spouse, there's no problem in falling into those gender roles. Like, I have no problem with stating that Wallace is the head of our household. I have no problem carrying out, you know, what's looked at as the wifely duties of cooking and cleaning and taking care of my husband. But at the same time, Wallace takes care of the duties as a man. He makes sure that everything is taken care of. He keeps the structure in our home. He supports me and my children. And also, you know, to go a step further, those roles are different for everyone. You know, some, you know, households, the man, you know, maybe he went to culinary school to be a chef, so he does most of the cooking. It's just all about the balance and knowing what works for you, but not being afraid to say, I'm a submissive wife, because I'm guilty. When I was married before, and even when I was single, girlfriends would say, you know, oh, I don't know if I could go out with y'all this weekend. Let me ask my husband. And I would laugh like, ask your husband. Oh, I just let my husband know, look, I'm not going to be there. Well, that's not right. I was of the wrong mindset because I was just used to being so independent. What, no man going to boss me around, blah, blah, blah. But when you are equally yoked,
yes,
and your marriage is of God,
mm-hmm,
those roles don't even really need to be discussed. it just kind of falls into place.
Right.
So what do you think?
A big part of it is, you know, everybody, men and women are equal in every aspect except roles. You know, we have different roles and responsibility. Now, as far as the whole kick about being submissive or whatnot, you know, it's just a matter of respect and people going their roles. You got to, like I say, you got to find out what works for you. And that's what we kind of share with everyone, what works for us. And the way our roles are, it works for us. But the part about asking, can I go out or something like that, it's not necessarily getting permission. It's more or less just a matter of respect for one another. Say, hey, you know, like I say, hey, babe, I'm going to do this. Is that okay with you? So, and she does the same for me. So it's not about someone being the head of you or anything like that. It's just about being respectful of each other.
Right.
Before it's, you know, being submissive or something like that. Yeah, it is such a taboo type word, but it kind of goes back to an old term, and really we need to bring it into the day's term, and that's just more or less being respectful of each other, you know, and knowing your different roles and things like that. And men got to step up to the plate, you know, and it's about respect. If you respect, if he's a man that's earning respect from you, then that's the way it needs to go. If she's a woman that's earning respect from you, then that's how y'all need to work that out.
Right, and it's funny because the word submissive never comes up in our household. Wallace never says, woman, you need to submit to me. you know, it's just something I talk about because that is, I do consider myself a submissive wife. But the funny part about it is, again, when you're equally yoked and you're on the same page, it doesn't even come up. Like, I don't look at myself as, oh, I'm submitting to him. And I always joke about this when I, you know, speak at women's conferences and women's ministry. Being submissive, in my opinion, just means that there are only two of you. You're not always going to agree on everything. So someone needs to be the tiebreaker. So if Wallace and I need a new car and I want a black car, but he would prefer a gray car, it's not worth us fighting about it. It's just that at the end of the day, we'll more likely end up going with what he wants. And, you know, that's kind of petty talking about the car color because it wouldn't be an issue. But just to make it as simple as possible, he's the tiebreaker. And because somebody has to break the tie. But the thing is, when you're equally yoked and you're walking in your purpose and you're doing what God has you to do and you're being a good wife and he's being a good husband, you're going to compromise and you're going to do things for each other. So for instance, because I respect Wallace as the man of the household and because I'm not always challenging him, if we have the issue where I want a black car and he wants a gray car, guess what? He'll end up just going ahead and saying, let's get the gray car, because his top priority is going to be to make his wife happy. So it works out, huh? Well, whichever car, you know what I mean? He's going to end up doing, and that's what you do for each other. It's that compromise without argument, because I have already resolved in my mind that Wallace is the one who breaks the ties in our house. And so if we don't have an agreement and can't see eye to eye on something, I am fine with his being his way, because as well, this is the man that I believe that God has sent for me. He's not going to lead me in the wrong direction. And maybe we both have a great idea. You know, either one of our ways would have worked just fine. But what's wrong with going with his way? And his way cannot be wrong for me, because this is who God gave to me. And another thing I joke about is, and at the end of the day, if whatever he wants to do is wrong, was his fault. He can't blame it on me because I was submissive. So nothing's ever my fault.
Well, even in that situation, you know, I have no problem yielding to her for certain things that she wants to do. You know, if she has a certain idea, like when we started with the book and some other things like that, yielding to what she kind of wanted to do. And there was nothing wrong with that. But I really feel like as a, you know, men, we call ourselves kings and we want to treat our women like queens. But I think if you are intentionally taking care of your woman, and when I say intentional, I mean that means you're doing everything you can do purposely to make her happy, she'll treat you like a queen.
King.
And treat you like a king, I'm sorry. If you are doing everything in your power to treat her like a queen, to make her feel loved, to make her feel wanted, to make her feel like she can trust you, you have a heart, she will treat you like a king, and she will be willing to do those things for you. And vice versa, if a woman is treating her man like he's number one, and that, and the love is going back and forth, and y'all have that type of relationship, trust me, these type situations or arguments around this type stuff will never come up, because you are living for each other.
Yes, and ladies, that's another thing too. talking about just what, how you treat somebody is what you receive. That's the thing. Men have an innate nature about them to want to feel needed. They are fixers by nature. And I know I might be beating a dead horse, but so many of us, through circumstance and whatever, have been forced to be so independent, we have lost the ability to let a man be a man and know what that means. And so we're always like, I can do it, I got it. I mean, it took me a while. It used to be so hard for me to ask Wallace for anything or to do anything for me, because I can do it myself, I can do it myself, I got it. He would offer to do things, I got it, I got it. But I had to realize that's what he needed to make him feel like a man. That's what the man in him drives him to do. He wants to fix things for me. Men aren't big on venting. They don't just want to hear about a problem and talk about it and talk about it. If you give them a problem, they want to fix it. And so we have to, as women, in this day and age, like I said, who have been conditioned to be so independent, and many of us, because we were raised by moms who were in that situation, that was drilled into us. God bless the child that's got his own. Don't you be dependent on no man. Be able to do for yourself. But again, it's about being with the right man, and there's stuff that I could definitely do for myself because I've done it for so long, that now I just turn it over to Wallace. I let him know everything. Hey, babe, my oil needs changed. Hey, babe, I'm running low on gas. Or, hey, can you carry this outside for me? You know, because I know he needs to be needed. And it's just like, you know, not comparing my husband to God, but it's just like the same situation, like I say, with God. The reason why God lets us go through things sometimes is because he wants us to be in a position where we have to call out to him and ask for his help. And so, if you just remember it that way, because just like God is the head of our life, your husband or whatever is the head of your household, and they want to feel needed. They want you to come to them and ask them for things and ask them for their assistance, because that is what a man naturally does and how they think. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're 100% right on that. You know, everybody wants to feel needed. And I know as a man, it's wonderful to feel like you're needed. You're a provider and you do these things. So when you feel like you're needed, that plugs you in and say, all right, this is my home. This is my castle. Guess what I got to do? I got to make sure everything in my castle is taken care of. I got to make sure the bills are paid. Anything needs to be fixed or something like that. And I do know some guys aren't as handy, but hey, I'm going to make sure we have the money to get that repaired and get that taken care of. So that's really, you know, kind of in a nutshell. Men aren't really that complicated. We're really kind of simple in a lot
Very
of ways.
Very simple.
But if, we'll talk about that later. But it's just about coming together and, you know, helping one another. And when you have that mindset of this is mine, this is where I'm at, and she treats me like I want to be treated, so guess what? I'm going to make sure she's taken care of.
I would say the number one and two things, and people say love is the most important thing in a relationship. Love is just all around. We're all, love should come easy. God commanded us to love each other. We're supposed to love everybody and be working on that daily. But I think the number one and two things in a relationship is about respect and communication. If you have that mutual respect, as I think Adrian had put on here earlier, for each other,
yes,
and you communicate and let each other know what you need,
right,
what works, what doesn't work, because something else is, you know, you don't let things fester.
Right.
If you communicate and you respect, you're good. You're good. Don't hold things. That's something I think too, men and women, and I think more so men than women, because I know in our relationship, that's something we struggled with in the beginning. Like if you did something that irritated me, I would tell you before you were even finished doing it.
Yeah.
But if I did something that irritated you, you may not tell me at all, or you would tell me 6 months from now, and then that irritated me.
Well, that was part of my, you know, my upbringing and things like that, you know, and it's a piece of advice that I kind of take in business and take in a personal life too. You know, not every battle is worth fighting. Sometimes, and that's part of being in a relationship, you know, it's give and take. Sometimes it's going to be worth you putting your foot down and want to say, you know, this is where I draw my line and I want to, you know, and I want this to be this way. And then other times you're like, you know what, it really ain't that serious. We got better things to do. Let's move on.
But
we got
then
stuff
you bring
to do
it
today.
Up later. And that's another thing, and I know we have to wrap it up, but how you fight in a relationship, that's something
yeah.
else that is very important, because again, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Nobody gets along all the time. No relationship is perfect. You're going to have disagreements, but you have to fight fair. Right. Words hurt. They yes. stick with people mm-hmm. sometimes forever. Yes. I know there's things that was said to me probably when I was 5 years old that I still remember. So you have to fight fair, but it's also important to get your point across. And I know one thing Wallace and I do, whenever we do have a disagreement, we also time it. Our thing is 30 minutes. If we don't have resolve within 30 minutes, then we're done with that thing. Not to say that it can't be revisited at a later date, because some things do have to have some resolve, but we don't let stuff go on and on and on. We don't go to bed angry. I know that sounds cliche. And it's like, again, it's not the fact that you don't care or you're not upset. It's just the fact that you should be able to give your spouse a hug and a kiss and say, good night, babe, I love you. Now, you can still be irritated, but it's just kind of going to bed with that clean heart, because we don't know. The next moment is not promised. And so one of us might not wake up the next morning right. and it wasn't worth it. So you have to fight fair and set boundaries with that as well, I believe, and be very careful with what you let come out of your mouth. Don't say things in anger. Let your arguments, your disagreements be productive.
Right, because most arguments, especially when you don't put time limits on them, you let them run, I don't know, hours, it's not even about the same argument anymore. It's yeah. about something else. And a lot of times when you start going down the road of that, then you get to a point where you're saying stuff to hurt somebody. You're not yeah. saying stuff to help the argument or get past the argument. You're saying something to help somebody. I mean, saying something to hurt somebody. So you want to stay in your mindset of, I want to be as respectful in this conversation as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So because that's still, at the end of the day, that's still my wife or that's still my husband, and I still love them. And no matter what we're going through, that this is not going to call it, we're still going to be together because we want to be together, and we're going to get past this. And that's why I say we put time limits on our disagreements or arguments that we're having, because we have other things to do. It's nothing like ruining a whole day arguing about something that really doesn't even matter, because at the end of the day, like I say, the conversation, the argument initially starts out about something, but it ends up about something completely different than what it was started out to be. And the initial situation that got you into the argument never gets resolved.
And y'all already know that's harder for me than him. He's really good at it.
Stay on topic.
And another thing. And so what I'll do, I'm going to be completely honest. Y'all know I'm candid. So we'll do our whole little look. We've been talking about this long enough, whatever. And so he'll come give me a hug and a kiss. I love you, babe, whatever. And I'm like, I love you too. And I kiss him back. But then under my breath, I say, I'm still mad though.
Yeah, just agree to disagree.
I'm still mad. And so that's the thing. But anyway, it's been a great show.
Hey, Roy.
With Adrian Shay. Oh, hey, Roy. And Sister Vicky, I'm just repeating Wallace because I don't see everybody. Now you're arguing about something that happened in 97. I know. Or it'll be something like, yeah, you know, when you asked me if that haircut looked good on you, well, it didn't. I just, you know what I mean? It's like, no, you can't do that. Hey, Regina, Gina. But anyway, guys, our time is up. These 2 hours go so fast. I love y'all. Make sure before you sign off, you hit me with that hashtag lifer. Share the video on your personal pages, please. If you have not already picked up the book, please go to www.stayhall.com. That's STAEHALL. Pick up your copy for Running for Your Life. For those of you who have already gotten it, don't forget to shoot me the pictures of you reading the book. I would love that. But I could go on and on just thanking y'all so much for the participation. But I will be back next week, 7 p.m. Central Time, here on Fishbowl Radio Network in the Blue Stream. So until we meet again, y'all be safe. Love y'all and love each other.
Team Hall.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. And if the words, I'll break for hell.